Sports Minutes with Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan.
Money FM 89.3. It is now time for Sports Minutes. Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan with you. Now, in the interest of time, I was a little bit occupied earlier today. You got yourself a little bit of a treat earlier this afternoon.
I did, and I often joke about this on social media. Sometimes I do the morning shift, sometimes I do the afternoon shift. Today I did a fanboy shift because I caught up with a Manchester United legend.
Yeah, so this guy is in town for the Football Legends game that's happening this weekend, if I'm not wrong. And so he's a Manchester United legend. What were some of the things that you guys talked about?
I mean, top of the agenda was Erik ten Hag's future, right? That's what all the rumour mills are talking about, but also there's a pivotal game happening this weekend. I wanted to find out how the team was doing because, as a Manchester United fan, it's make or break this weekend because that's the only thing we are clinging on to, right? So I was keen to find out with him, and also because he's been the player that's come in for injured players during his career.
Yeah.
I wanted to find out how he feels coming into a team because Manchester United have been blighted by injuries this season.
Here's that conversation. Ziaul Roshan speaking to Manchester United legend Wes Brown.
Wes, it's an honour to have you with us. Firstly, tell me what you're doing in Singapore.
Yeah, well, we're here with StarHub Football Festival. We've got a game against Singapore Legends. It's a bit different this game, though. Obviously, it's Manchester United and Liverpool mixture. We're here for 4 or 5 days. We've got clinics under 12s, under 16s that we'll put on some football sessions and try and help the kids in any way, any questions as well. But yeah, just here to represent, and a big thank you to StarHub for bringing us all out, because I especially have not been here for a very long time. So hopefully it's a great four days. Tickets are still available at Systic. So get your tickets and, come and watch us play. We've missed playing here. Well, I have, and it's going to be a great night and a great occasion.
You thank the sponsors there on behalf of the fans. We just want to thank the players for coming out because we're all the way in Asia, but the fandom here is different. Have you felt it in the years gone by? And what do you want to say to the fans, United as well as Premier League fans?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. Even getting off the plane outside, there's 10 fans wanting autographs. Like I said, it's always a pleasure meeting the Singapore fans who, for me, are one of the best. There's lots of Manchester United fans there as well. And it's good just to say hello and get as many pictures as possible. For me, that's what it's all about. We still continue to support to this day.
Yeah, we certainly do in this part of the world. I just want to pick up on something we were speaking about off air, as well as you briefly mentioned that sharing the pitch with these Liverpool legends. Is it still weird for you because the rivalry is still there?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I think when we're playing, you're more focused, and obviously it's more about, for me, that's the number one team to beat in the Premier League. And you're not friendly at all on the pitch, but honestly, off the pitch, everyone's fine. And we've done a few things together in the past, but we've never actually played together, so that'll be interesting. But again, we will still want to win. So I know the Singapore Legends will want to do the same, and we just want to make it a good, fun game and try and make it entertaining for the fans.
Yeah, some of the Singapore legends might be listening in. You heard it from Wes Brown himself. He's looking forward to win, but have a bit of fun. Let's talk about playing. What do you miss most about it? Playing? Pre-match? Match? Ooh. Post-match?
I would say the match. I think the main thing I miss is just the lads in general. Mm. Since you were 16, you were sort of with a bunch of 16 lads, whoever they were, every day. Sometimes you can have a laugh, sometimes it's serious, but ultimately it's being together as a team and going out there to try and win. So I would say that's the main thing I miss.
Yeah, I can imagine the lads that really came through during your playing career as well. On the topic of lads, I'm keen to find out. I obviously am a Manchester United fan. Everybody listening knows that. I have my own WhatsApp groups where texts are coming in during a game, and we'll talk about the season United are having as well. Are you in any WhatsApp groups and you want to name check some of your former colleagues who are really vocal about football?
Yeah, I mean, we still have a WhatsApp group, Man United WhatsApp group. There's probably about 16 of us from different ages. It's a great group. I can't tell you what's on it, but we do have a good laugh, and I laugh, and I would say it's consistency. It's every day.
Yeah.
There's something put in.
Yeah.
It could be just taking the mick out of one of us, or it could be about football in general. Obviously, there was a good chat on the the City game and Madrid game the other day, like there always is. So it's still very much alive. But it's brilliant just to keep in contact because, as you may or may not know, when you finish, you sort of go your separate ways as people go home. And obviously you don't see the boys very often unless it's special games and you're all there at the stadium. So it's great to keep in contact. So even these trips,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I travelled up with Emil Heskey, Lee Martin, Keith Gillespie, Clayton Blackmore, Tomo. Not seen some of them for a while. Mm-hmm. So we just, you know, you have a great chat and it's a great way to start off sort of the week.
Yeah, that's brilliant. For us fans, it's catching up with legends like yourself. For you yourself, it's about catching up with peers you used to share the pitch with. So excellent. Let's talk about Manchester United. Wes, are you the sort of guy who's a glass half full, half empty? Because there's positives and negatives. You get to choose what we talk about first.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I go to every home game. Not necessarily away games, and obviously sometimes we've performed and some we've not. I always say it's like a game of two halves for us at the moment. Sometimes we're exciting and world class, and then at other times, you know, we lose all concentration and you know it doesn't work out quite as we hope. So so it's, you know, I think every Man United fan feels the same this season. It's been tough at times. You know, we had a chance to maybe fight for that Champions League spot at one point. Now that obviously doesn't look like we can do that at all. I think that's way too much for us. How many points to claw back and other teams lose as well. The high is obviously that we're still in the semi-final. We have Coventry on Sunday, which I'll be watching somewhere. So we're still all excited about that because even though you could say we've not achieved as much as last year, you know, to still get to the semi-final against a team we should beat, then hopefully we can be in another FA Cup, two FA Cup finals in 2 years, which is a good achievement.
Yeah, I think on paper that'd be a good achievement, and fingers crossed we make it on Sunday against Coventry. You talk about that difficult season, so perhaps let's talk about the positives first with Manchester United. The standout positive has to be Kobbie Mainoo, right? What an impact this boy has had. Did you know when he was coming through the ranks, and are you even surprised by the impact he's made?
Yeah, I think obviously I watched some of the under 23s and even the under 18s when he was in under 18s. I think the positives of him, Garnacho and Dalot this season have been really good. But I mean, it's you don't expect a player at that age maybe to come in and sort of boss the team a little bit. You know, very his confidence is very high. He's aware of his ability. Very calm on the ball, you know, looks to play forward, gets out of trouble, can score a goal. So he's pretty much got everything. Obviously, he's younger, he's athletic, and you can see he wants to perform, he wants to play at the best of his ability every single time, and he's been an absolute star alongside Garnacho and Dalot for me.
Yeah, certainly, all those players you name check certainly have stood out. On Mainoo itself, you talk about him bossing the midfield. I'm tempted to ask, is that because of the state of affairs in midfield, or is he just that big a talent?
No, I just think he is a bigger talent. But believe me, if you come in at that age to be able to take that sort of responsibility, you know, he calms the ship a little bit, as I say. His control of the ball gets us going. Like, he gets himself out of tight positions. And he did the same for England when he made his debut. Obviously, he got called up. And I think he can be very proud of himself because that could have, you know, I think that's easily give him a good shout to not only go, but start next to Rice.
Yeah, exactly. He got a cameo in the first game and then man of the match in the second one. So the trajectory is clearly on the up. Speaking of on the up, Ineos have come in to Manchester United. That was a big cloud hanging over the club. I think that's been sorted. We don't have much clarity, but in terms of what's being said in Manchester as well as within the club, what can you tell us?
Yeah, the feels good. You know, Sir Jim Ratcliffe coming in, and obviously there'll be some changes. There'll be some changes on the football side. There'll be some changes on the commercial side as well. But yeah, everything you hear, you feel that it's going in the right direction. It's been probably needed for a while now. But I'm sure, you know, with especially the people that he's looking to get in, you know, these are world-class and not only world class, but they've obviously done it at other clubs as well, and that's what you can hope for.
Yeah, you talk about a lot of changes structurally at the top. There's going to be plenty of changes. You obviously played for Manchester United in an era where David Gill, or Mr. Gill as I guess you would call him, ran the ship so importantly and so well with Sir Alex Ferguson, yeah. Right? How important is that structure going to be, regardless of who the manager is?
Yeah, it is important. I mean, you see where we are at the moment. You know, we want to be fighting at the top of the table. We want to be in the Champions League, fighting to get in the final. So it's very important. And like you said, Mr. Gill and Sir Alex had great communication. They understood each other, and that's what it's all about. You know, can they pick that right player, and does he fit in to the squad that's already here?
Yeah, he is hoping, as a Manchester United fan, it works out in the future at least. Does that looming uncertainty surrounding our big rivals, Liverpool, almost make this a golden opportunity for us to get it right? Because when Jurgen Klopp leaves, there's going to be uncertainty in that club, and we, Manchester United, should try and take advantage of that.
Of course. I mean, Klopp's been fantastic for Liverpool, first of all, and great to the game, really. You know, his enthusiasm, what he's actually done for Liverpool as well. So I think every football fan doesn't want to see him go in general. But you know, things change as they do in football. You know, just looking at the last few results, he's been very disappointing for Liverpool. He would have liked to go out on a sort of a big bang, but they obviously are still in a chance to win the Premier League, and that'll be his full focus now. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they've got a new manager yet. They've not said the name of the new manager. Of course, it could be an opportunity for Manchester United to, especially next season, to try and start out fast and with a bang, really.
Yeah, certainly hoping that that's the case. But in your opinion, we talked about the changes structurally. From a transfer perspective, what is most important that Manchester United get right going into this one?
Oh, I mean, there's a few. I mean, you could start, I think the keeper's fine. You could start on defence, another centre-back, another midfielder and another striker, pretty much. You know, I think the sort of forward-wide players, we've got that covered at the moment, but I do feel that Højlund needs, help sometimes, and he's played a lot of games, and there's a lot of pressure on him, obviously, to do well, being Manchester United striker. Martial has obviously been injured for most of the season, if not all, and it's been hard at times to sort of change and switch over certain players, as it has happened as well in the defence, which has probably been the main concern.
Yeah, you talk about the injuries there. Have you been surprised by the sheer number of injuries? I've read on Twitter or X, it's like 60 injuries for same players across the season. As a former pro yourself, is that down to the sheer number of fixtures these players are being put through at the moment?
Yeah, I think that could be one of the reasons. It is very difficult, especially near the end of the season. You know, when you have sometimes three games a week, you can put it into, training. It can take a lot out of you. And I know it's been said from some of the top football players around the world that, you know, it's tiring, it takes a lot out of you. And obviously, as you know, when you're tired and you're playing so many games, that's where you pick up injuries. But at the moment, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, if you qualify for all the competitions, you're going to have to play these games. And it's all about sort of squad then, trying to perform. But ultimately, United haven't had the same back line more than two games, I don't think. Mm. And obviously, we brought in Martinez, who has been outstanding for us. And he's obviously looking forward into the future. You're looking to partner him. Obviously, it's with Varane. But you're looking him to be there for a long time. But for me, he starts off sort of that defence for us. You know, he's sharp. He gets the team going. So when you go back again and you've got to bring in some of the other players, you know, you're missing a key player in the team. And even fullback Luke Shaw, when he's been fit, he's been outstanding. You know, he came back, I think it was one game, and then he's probably been brought back a little bit too early. And that's the problem, you see, because as a player as well, you want to get back. If you can train and you've been training a few days, I'd be definitely saying, boss, I'm fine, I'm okay. But whether you're okay to play a full 90 minutes match is a different thing altogether. It's not like training.
It's almost like you're reading my questions, because that was what I wanted to ask you about in terms of as a player on the sidelines, you're obviously rushing to play for the club. Someone like Martinez comes across as he would want to rush his recovery almost. What is your almost advice in terms of what you've gone through, because in terms of playing it safe?
Yeah, listen, I've done both ways. I've rushed it, and you could be fine for a while, but ultimately it's not healed, or you know, it's just, you're just not right to come back at this time. So, me personally, I would always say train as long as you can first. I mean, if you get back in training, you've got to sort of give yourself 2 weeks. There's been times when obviously you needed, and you know, I think the ideal one is, can you get 60 minutes? But as you know, football doesn't work like that. So you have to be, you know, raring to go, 100% fit. Otherwise, you start to feel little niggles here and there.
Yeah, fascinating insight in terms of what you went through as a pro. So thank you so much for sharing that. I'm keen to ask you, we talked about injuries a lot. Let's put that aside for a second. Fans on social media, me included, feel like there isn't an identity to this club, injury or not injury or not. But I'm a layman. What's your opinion?
Yeah, like I said, this season's been it's a season of two halves. I mean, if you watch a few of the games where we've got beat, and you know, there's disappointment really, and knowing the game before, we were, you know, we were outstanding at times, and that's the feeling I think that goes around everywhere. And I mean, it's a bit of everything really. As a player, you know, I would never put the blame on the manager. Mm. I would always feel it was, you know, I could have contributed more, or that my teammates could have contributed more, because there's always a plan, regardless what people say. And it's just how, you know, if you can do that plan on the pitch. And sometimes, you know, you footballers, you have to adjust a little bit and, you know, see what the dangers are and what's not a danger. And I feel like sometimes we don't do that.
Hopefully that streetwise sense on the pitch comes through eventually. We're almost running out of time, but I have to ask you about a certain Marcus Rashford, who, in my opinion, is one of the biggest talents we have at the club. But that consistency seems to be lacking. We see one good year and then now he's struggling. So it's almost like he's at a crossroads of his career, right? What do you put down his struggles to?
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, Marcus, as we know, is an unbelievable talent, and last season, you know, he proved that. And even when he plays now, he's still a threat, but he's just not been scoring as many goals, and obviously you can see his confidence is down a little bit. You know, and I just hope that the more he plays, his confidence keeps coming back up, because believe me, for wingers, strikers, confidence is massive. It's so important. And yeah, he's not done as well as he wanted to do. And I think sometimes as individuals, I think for Marcus especially, he takes a lot of the heat for everything. You know, he's sort of the superstar of the team. And that might have got to him a little bit as well. But we do know what Marcus can do. And we hope he does the same, you know, till the end of the season. And then obviously for England in the Euros, because I do think he'll go. Whether or not he start or not, I'm not sure. But believe me, even when he came on for England, when I was watching, he's a threat. Yeah. You know, defenders don't like it. It's simple as that. And, you know, he just has to believe in himself, and I'm sure we'll get there.
And do you think Manchester United is the place for him to go out and achieve that immense potential he has?
Yeah, listen, he's a Wivenshaw Manchester lad. And like I've always said, if it was up to me, I'd have loved to stay at United for as long as possible. That can only happen so many times in probably my lifetime. So yeah, I mean, listen, he's Manchester United through and through, and he loves the club, and he will obviously try and stay there as long as he can as well.
Yeah, hopefully. We're speaking on the eve of this massive FA Cup semi-final up against Coventry. I know the FA Cup, they call it the magic of the cup. You expect surprises, but because of your allegiance and mine, we hope Manchester United prevail. But result aside, do you think Erik ten Hag has done enough to get next season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know a lot of people talk about this, but I think last season we outshone ourselves a little bit. You know, we really went for it. He was excellent, obviously two finals, finishing in the Champions League. He couldn't have asked for more, really. So, you know, I think at times this season's been disappointing in the league. You know, I think we need to be doing better there. But ultimately, he's got us to another semi-final, and we've got the sort of the pick of the draw, if you'd like to say, in Coventry, who won't be easy to beat, by the way. But it's the draw you want as a fan. You know, you go down to Wembley now on Sunday and enjoy the day, and hopefully the results turns out right for us. But I've just got a feeling Coventry are going to make this very hard. Obviously, Mark Robbins, you know, there's just something there in my mind that you feel we need to play well, because for some of these guys at Coventry, this will be the biggest game they've ever played, and especially at Wembley, some of them would have never been to Wembley before as well. So it's a game we have to really play well and make sure we get to that final, because it could be massive for the manager at the end of the season.
Hoping we get through to the final. Final quick fire question: who do you rather face in the final, Manchester City or Chelsea?
If you're talking about football terms, I say Chelsea.
Okay,
but obviously another Man United, Man City final would be fantastic for both fans.
Yeah, it certainly will be. Now, plenty of football to look forward to at Wembley, but as well as at our Tambourines Hub, where the StarHub Football Festival is happening. Wes, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Been a pleasure.
Question for you. On the back of that conversation, very well done, by the way. Thanks for that. You prefer Wes Brown as a centre-back or a right-back?
Right-back.
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 He's not your typical right-back, but he brings a different dimension.
Exactly, and that full-back position has changed so much over the years. I almost feel like Wes Brown was unorthodox in that position before it was normal to be unorthodox, if that makes sense.
Prime Wes Brown or what we have currently?
Wow. It's hard to pick anything we have currently, so I'm going to go Prime Wes Brown.
Sports Minutes on Money FM 89.3.